Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Kiddushin is Lamed Gimel. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zechon Gabriel Bashmol. We are in Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, Tanur Rabbanan. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We're discussing Kibbut Avayim. We've been discussing Kibbut Avayim now for a couple of days. As the Mishnah back on Chavtesa Medalev introduced us to this idea that when it comes to the mitzvahs that are incumbent upon the child to do for the parent, so both men and women are obligated, meaning men and women are obligated in the mitzvah of Kibbut Avayim. And it allowed the Gemara to launch into a discussion regarding Kibbut Avayim, which has now taken us into the last couple of days of the Gemara. We are going to just move a little bit off topic, not wildly off topic, and we're going to talk now about the idea of Kibud Rabbo and Kibud Zakeno. In addition to having honor for your parents, so the Torah instructs us to have honor also for our elders and also for Talmidei Chachamim and Rebbeim. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Tanur Rabban, Mibnei Seva Takum. We are in Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, but towards the bottom of the Amud at the two dots. It's about 15 lines from the bottom. So the Torah tells us that we have to stand up for a Seva. Seva is certainly a reference to an elderly person, but what exactly does that mean? The Gemara goes on to explain. Yachol afil mibnei zaken hashmai. I might have thought it could be any old person. It could be a zaken hashmai. What exactly is meant by zaken hashmai? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes something which is open to a little bit of controversy. Rashi writes, sorry, got to find it first. It's towards the top of the Amud. Rashi writes zaken hashmai asham the rasha the am haaretz. So Rashi describes him as being a Russian and Am Haaretz. He's a wicked person. He's an unlearned person. Really, just an elderly who's got no redeeming qualities. That's how Rashi describes it. So that's a havamina, meaning I might have thought that I need to stand up for such an individual. Tamalamar zakin vein zakin el chacham. So no, the Torah says there has to be a zakin, and zakin means a chacham as well. Shenemar asvili shivim ish mizikne Yisrael. Okay, and he quotes the Gemara, quotes the Pasuk, the first Sanhedrin that was put together by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the idea behind Zakin is that he has to be an elder. So according to the Tanakhama of this Brisa, in order to warrant any type of kavod, so the elderly person has to be elderly, and he also has to be a Zakin as well. If he's an Ashmai, so that's no good. Now Rashi's depiction of him being a Rasha is interesting, and it's also a little bit difficult as well. Meaning, if he's a Rasha, like even as a havamin, even as a as an initial thought, that you have to stand up for such an individual, that's a bit, even as a havamina, that's a bit of a chiddush. In fact, Tosus on the top of the Amud points out that this Rashi is difficult to grasp. But going on in the Gemara, this is now opinion number two in the Brisa, Rabbi Yosef Galili Amar, in Zakin al Amisha Kana Chachma. A Zakin is somebody who acquired his wisdom. Shenemar Hashem Kanani Reishi Starko. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk for Mishle, showing that the word Zakin means someone Zeshekana Chachma. The word Zakin is an acronym for someone who acquired knowledge. It sounds like Rav Yosi HaGalili is espousing the same viewpoint as the Tanakhama, so please stay tuned, as the Gemara later on is going to try to paint the differences between the Tanakhama and Rav Yosi HaGalili. Yachli Amo Mipanav Mimakam Rachok. I might have thought that I should stand up for the elderly person, even at a distance. No, you stand up only in a place where there's hiddur, where you're going to be honoring the individual. Okay. Maybe hiddur means money, right? You put your money where your mouth is. You honor the elderly person by throwing money at him. Maybe that's the way you honor him. No, you stand in terms of honoring. And ma kima shein b'chisar and kiss, and just like standing doesn't require a loss of money, af hiddur shein b'chisar and kiss, same thing as regarding honoring. Honoring does not require a loss of money. Yachli yamol mipanav mibeis hakisim mibeis hamerchatz. I might have thought that I should stand for him while we bump into each other in the bathroom or in the bathhouse. Right, back then, it was the bathroom and the bathhouse were not private adventures. They were public adventures. So if I bump into a talmid chacham, I should stand up for them. So no, the only place that you have to stand for him is only in a place where there is honor. There is no honor in the bathroom or in the bathhouse. I might have thought that I should close my eyes so as if I don't see him. Okay, so if I don't see him, so I don't have to stand up for him. So Tamar Lama took him be erased. So Davar Amaso Alev. So the Torah goes on to say that there needs to be Yira, there needs to be fear of Hashem. Hashem is the ultimate in terms of surveillance, video surveillance. He knows that you are closing your eyes. He knows that you're pretending that you don't see him. So the Gemara darshins that that you have to stand up, that you can't pretend like you don't see him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. Davar Maso Lev, Namar Bovi Yeresim Elokai. You have to fear Hashem. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Minayin LaZaken Shelo Yatriach. How do I know that the Zaken himself should not be Burdom's son? Meaning, now we go from the perspective of the Zaken. He, on the other hand, he knows that he needs to be honored, and so he shouldn't become a burden, insisting on being honored all the time. Meaning, the Gemara is going to illustrate this later on, and as an example, he knows that he can either walk through the building and have people stand for him, he could walk around. So we're going to learn that the Zaken himself should avoid being honored. How do I know that? Even the Zaken himself needs to have a certain amount of mori, he needs to have a certain amount of fear of Hashem, and he should know that he should not put himself in a situation where he needs to be honored. Izzi ben Yehuda Omer, we're still in the bright side, last opinion. Any seva is included. So according to Izzi ben Yehuda, you need to stand up for any elderly person. And then this brings us back to the Rashi that I pointed out a couple of moments ago, the beginning of today's shiur. So according to Izzi ben Yehuda, you're supposed to be standing up for a zaken in Russia? Meaning, is that included in his list? Meaning, previously, the Gemara had a havamina that we should stand up for a zaken Ashmai. And Ashmai, Rashi says, is a Russia. So does that now mean that according to Izzi ben Yehuda, you should be standing up for said Russia? It's hard to imagine. And that's one of the reasons why Tosfos has a difficult time understanding Rashi. Okay. That was a long brisa, detailing some of the halachas regarding giving kavod to an elderly person. Now, Rav Yosef Lila Hanatana Kama. Now, it sounds like the first two opinions presented in the brisa are one in the same. And so that prompts the Gemara to ask, what's the difference between the two? So, Ikamenau, Yanik V'chacham. So the Gemara says, what if he's a Talmud Chacham, but he's not old? Okay, so he acquired his wisdom while he was young. So do you have to give him kavod? So Tanakama suffered Yanik v'chacham lo. So according to Tanakama, no. There are two requirements in order to warrant kavod. Number one, you have to be elderly, and number two, you have to be a zaken. It can't be one or the other. And Rav Yosef Galili suffer afilu Yanik v'chacham. And according to Rav Yosef Galili, if you are a Talmud Chacham, regardless of age, even if you're a young Talmud Chacham, you demand, not you demand, but your position demands that people provide for you kavod. So my time to Rav Yosef Galili. So now the Gemara is going to go through the psukim viewed from each of these tanaim. So we'll start with Rav Yosef Galili. So my time to Rav Yosef Galili. Amalchai sakadach and kitagama tanakama. If you think the tanakama is right, then in order to warrant kavod, you need to be both elderly and a talmid chacham. So in kein nechtor rachmanim ibnei seva zakein takom v'adarta. The Torah should have put the word Seva and Zaken right next to one another, telling us that there's this dual requirement to demand kavod. You have to both be old and you have to be a Talmud Chacham. My time a Dapalgina Rachmana. So why did the Torah divide these two verbs, Mimnei Seva Takom Vehadarta Pene Zaken? Sorry, let me say that again correctly. Yeah, I think I did. Mimnei Seva Takom Vehadarta Pene Zaken. So you see that the Zaken and Seva are disconnected from each other. Lemeimer, the high love high, the high love high. So you see that they are not one in the same. Shema mina, filo yanik v'chacham. So therefore, if you are either old or you're a Talmud Chacham, and you don't have to be old, so then you, then you demand kavod. V'tanakama, now we turn back to the Tanakama, mishum debaila mismech zaken v'yareisa. So the Tanakhama says, no, there was another motivation why the Torah divided the two. Because what the Torah wanted to do was take the word Zaken and place it right next to the word V'yareisa in order so that we could extract the halachas of don't cover your eyes, the Talmud Chacham himself should not be onerous. So, V'tanakhama, my Tama. So, sorry, did I skip a little bit? Yeah. So, the high love high, my love high, shmanah, filakam, rechach, vitanakam, shem, the baila mitzvah, zakim, viraitza. Vitanakam, my taima. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't skip. I just lost my place. I'm back. Vitanakama, my taima. We're on the very last line of Lamed Beis. Now, according to the Tanakama, why? Why, according to the Tanakama, must you be both? You have to both be a Talmi Chacham and you have to be an elderly. So because if you think Rav Yosef Aglili is right, Im Kain Nichtov Rachmana Bimnei Seva Takum Vahadarta Takum Vahadarta Bimnei Zakein. The Torah should have introduced us to both of these people, the Zakin and the Seva and the Zakin, and the Torah should have also repeated the instructions of standing and providing kavod. The fact that the Torah uses the word vahadarta once, the word takum once, is telling us that it's all really one person. So that's how we know, according to the Tanna Kamma, that the Torah is describing one person, somebody who's a Talmi Chacham and he's elderly. Okay, so far, unclear. If we were just talking about age as being a prerequisite, so then I think it would be more clear. But it's, we're talking about age and also being a Talmi Chacham, so that's why I don't know. And then I'll just advance your question. Meaning, according to Yisi Ben Yehuda, where the only criteria is just simply being old, so then I would say it would then not be gender specific. But I'm giving you my best guess. So far, what do we see? A braisa, lengthy, describing the halachas of standing up for an elder. The first issue that we covered, and we haven't even finished yet, is there is a three-way machlokas in terms of what exactly are the prerequisites to demand the kavod, to warrant the kavod. So according to the Tanna Kamma, you have to both be elderly and a Talmi Chacham. According to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, a Talmi Chacham at any point in his life. And the third opinion, which the Gemara hasn't really explored, is the opinion of Yisi Ben Yehuda, which is kol seva b'mashma, any elderly person. Okay, Amar Mar, yachol yadrena b'mamon. Now, in the Braisa, the way the Braisa structure is a little bit strange, by the way. It was Tanna Kamma, Rav Yosef Aglili, then a series of other related halachas to standing up for the elderly, and then the Braisa introduces last to the position of Yisi Ben Yehuda. It would seem, the Gemara doesn't really raise this as an issue, but it would seem that Yisi Ben Yehuda should have come up right after Rav Yosef Aglili. So that part of the Braisa is a little bit unclear in terms of the structure of the Braisa. Anyway, the Gemara now is just working its way through the Braisa step by step. We are now up to the part where the Braisa entertained the idea that we should honor the elderly with money. So that's a havamina. So yachol yadrena b'mamon tamalama takum v'adarta makim hashem bo chison kis avhid hashem bo chison kis. What the Gemara now is going to challenge is the argument that was given in the Braisa. The Braisa gave an argument that, well, you know, standing doesn't require loss of money, so honoring doesn't require loss of money as well. To which the Gemara says, is that really true? The kima leis be chison kis, really? Standing is not going to require loss of money? Milos yin delo nakiv marganisa. The Gemara over here gives an example where the person does a very intensive job. It requires a tremendous amount of concentration, stringing pearls. Okay, and he needs to be sitting and in order to successfully work. And now here, along comes an elderly person, and now he's got to stand up. Well, he can't continue working if he has to stand up. So it's not money per se, but like we discussed just yesterday, time is money. And now he's going to have to stop working in order to stand up for the elderly person. So that's going to be a monetary loss. So the Gemara says, so here comes the elderly person. He's going to be standing up for him, and he's going to be losing work, losing time, losing money. So the argument that the Braisa gave is very difficult. The Braisa says, well, standing doesn't require loss of money. Honoring shouldn't require loss of money. So Ella Akish Kim Lehidur. So the Gemara says, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to tweak our understanding of the Braisa. We are going to make a connection between standing and giving honor. Mahidur Shembo Bittel, Afkim Shembo Bittel. Just like honoring does not require stoppage of work, so too standing does not require stoppage of work. Meaning, what the Gemara now is introducing us to is that there's another step in the Braisa that we missed on. And that is that if you're in the middle of work, you don't need to stand. Now that we've established that, so now Vakishnami Hidalakima. Makima Shim Bokhisan Kis, Afidushim Bokhisan Kis. Well, now that I know that I don't need to stand, which means that I don't need to lose money, so in general now we could reflect on the fact that honoring in general does not require loss of money. Mikan Amru, and the Gemara says, and here we're going to learn out a basic halacha, which is Ein Bali Umnayos Rashan Lamod Mimne Tamid Chachamim B'Shashos Kim B'Melachtam, that if you are a laborer, if you're working, so then you are not permitted. Now that's a strong language, meaning it doesn't, it sounds like from the Gemara you don't even have an option. I'll discuss that more in just a moment. If you're a worker, you're not permitted to stand in front of a Talmid Chacham in the time when you are doing your work. So that Gemara says, so that's really what is, that's the part of the Braisa that we missed. Once we didn't miss it, so then it comes out that you don't have to stand while a Talmid Chacham is walking by you, while an elderly is walking by you, if you're in the middle of your work, and because you don't have to stand. So therefore, that teaches us that, in general, there does not need to be a loss of money. Just to speak for a moment about this idea that you're not permitted to stand, that seems to be a little severe. Why not at least have an option? So if you take a look at Tosfos on the top of Lamed Gimel Manav, he writes, Tema, Malashon Rashayin Shayach, Temash Medika Yisura. Tosfos is bothered exactly by this question. The word Rashayin, you're not permitted, sounds like it's forbidden to stand. So Tosfos gives an intuitive answer, and he says, well, what if you're not working for yourself? What if you're not self-employed? What if you're working for others? Now, Tosfos says, now we can understand the language of the Gemara that you're not permitted to stand. Because it's not, it is your work, but you're working for somebody else. So your time is not only your money, but it's somebody else's money as well. So you have to be respectful of that. As much as you want to give respect to the elderly, you also have to respect your work, so and other people's work as well. V'hasha shayach lashon rishayim. So that Tosfos says would make the Gemara's language resonate a lot better. And Tosfos also gives another answer as well, but just interesting that this first answer of Tosfos, similar to this, for the first thing that comes to my mind, is the shortcut in benching. You know, the seventh parak of Brachos details the halachas of benching. So if you are working, this is, I don't know anyone who practices this, but if you're working, so the Gemara in Brachos in the seventh parak says, so you have a shortened version of benching. Why? Because the first three brachos are Minotaurah, the fourth brach is Midrabanan, and the Chachamim said, if you're working for somebody else, if you're employed by somebody else, so that that time is going to be money. And so the Chachamim, out of respect for your employer, shorten your benching. It's And I always find it fascinating. We're talking about a minute. Let's say you even have kavana, which would be great. So now let's bring it up to 2 minutes of extra benching. But still, okay, it's the idea of respecting your employer's time. Okay, back to the Gemara. Velo. We are on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. We're right where the narrow lines come to an end, and the Gemara is bothered by the following. Vehatanan. We have the following Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Bikurim. We know there's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah annually to take your first fruit and bring up to Yerushalayim, put it in a basket, hand the basket to a kohen, right at the beginning of Parshas Kisavo. And then there's a declaration, and a week from Friday night, we're going to be saying this declaration all together at the Seder night, meaning the four psukim of Amira. The Amira's Bikurim is the text of the it's a synopsis of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And so that's what we say on the Seder night. So anyway, as this person bringing the Bikurim to Yerushalayim comes up, so basically it turns into a parade. He comes up, people are clapping, people are cheering in Yerushalayim, and they're all going to stand up for him. That's what the Mishnah Bikurim is going to describe. And the way the Mishnah Bikurim describes it is that not just everyone who's unemployed is going to be standing up for him, but even people who are employed. In other words, even if you are in the middle of employment, if you see the person bringing Bikurim, you stop and you stand for that individual. Vishalim Bishlamam, and you ask him how you're doing. In other words, the Mishnah over here legislates, you need to be nice. Legislated niceness. The part of the reason why there is such a special requirement is because bringing Bikurim to Yerushalayim can be a little bit onerous. It can be a little bit taxing. I mean that here literally. And And so basically incentivize. I mean, they're doing the right thing. I mean, they're doing a mitzvah in the Torah. But some mitzvahs in the Torah require a little more incentive. So so they're legislated in Yerushalayim to stop working, stand up for him, ask him where he's from, play Jewish geography, meaning you want to make him feel good about this mitzvah. Now, v'omrim lahem, achenu anshei makom ploni bo'achem l'shalom, welcome from so-and-so. Okay, now, what bothers the Gemara is we just learned together that if you see a zaken, if you see a talmid chacham, if you see an elderly walking by you and you're in the middle of the work, you don't stand up for that individual. And meanwhile, contrast that to the Mishnah we just learned together in Bikurim, where you do stand up for the individual even though you're in the middle of work. That is what's called a stira. Am Rav Yochanan says it's not a stira. Mimneim omdim, mimnei talmid chachamim, ein omdim. It's very simple. If you see a talmid chacham and you're in the middle of the work, you don't stand. If you see somebody doing the mitzvah of Havas Bikurim, you do stand. Meaning, but just simply state the obvious. The Mishnah is right, and what we learned previously is also right. It's just we're going to make a distinction between standing for a talmid chacham versus standing for somebody doing a mitzvah. So does that mean to say that somebody doing a mitzvah is more important to such a simplistic way of saying it, but should generate more honor than a talmid chacham? And the Gemara is about to say that's absolutely correct. Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Avin bore kama chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Doing a mitzvah in its right time, see how beloved it is. Sharei mimnei omdim, mimnei talmid chacham, mimnei omdim. And the Gemara says exactly this point. You stand for somebody who's doing a mitzvah b'shaita. A guy is bringing bikurim to Yerushalayim. It happens all the time. It happens annually. I mean, it hasn't happened in a while now, but it happens. And for that person, you stand for talmid chacham, you don't? And the Gemara says, yeah, bor re'eh. Yeah, absolutely, that's correct. And a mitzvah b'shaita is so beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the person who normally doesn't have to stand for talmid chacham needs to stand for that person. When it's brought down in halacha, when the baby comes in for the bris milah, you stand. Chasam v'kala. So you stand, in other words, mitzvah b'shaita. You see somebody doing a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, look, the conclusion's beautiful. It's nice. But really also you could deflect. And the Gemara says you could point out that if you don't stand for them this time, they're not going to come again. Meaning maybe don't draw the general conclusion of, oh, it's so beautiful, mitzvah b'shaito. Maybe over here, the only reason why we're standing is so that we incentivize them to come again next year. Okay, so the Gemara kind of, just at the tail end, after having learned a beautiful point, the Gemara is like, meh, maybe not.
Maybe. Is for any mitzvah, yes.
Yeah, right. I also I'm curious.
Whoever insists walking by you.
Yeah, I'm also curious, right? First of all, it's mitzvah b'shaita.
So
I understand, but it sounds like my sense is that it's a special mitzvah that is occurring at a singular time. So, but you're right. But you're right, though. I don't know. Right, correct. That's mitzvah b'shaita. Okay. I know the answer is no, but I don't know how to draw the distinction.
Where does this idea stem from? The Torah doesn't tell you to do that.
Right.
Because the person knows it's going to come again.
Right.
Nobody ever stood for
me to
come in again.
And not only that, but the Torah does stand. I'm just going to support your question. In other words, the Torah does tell us I have to stand for an elderly person. And the Torah never mentions about standing up for the mitzvah b'shaito. So, right. So, and then it comes out that the halachas for standing for mitzvah b'shaito is actually more intensive than the mitzvah where the Torah actually tells me to do. So, it's a good question. Right, I just made a bracha. Everyone should stand. Right. We're back to the Braisa. We had a Havamina that you should stand for him in the bathroom and the bathhouse. As we pointed out, back in the good old days, these were public experiences. They were not private experiences. So you bump into a talmid chacham in the bathroom, you should stand up for him. The Braisa says, no, that's not a place of honor, so therefore you don't. Now, Velov, the Gemara says, now really, you don't? You're not supposed to? So the Gemara is going to tell a couple stories. Rabbi Chia was in the bathhouse. And passing him by is Rabbi Shimon Barabi. And he doesn't stand for Rabbi Shimon Barabi. So, and he should. The Ikbit and Rabbi Shimon Barabi was upset. Okay. Okay, let's just leave it at that. He was upset. And now Rabbi Shimon Rebbe goes over to the father of Rabbi Chia, and he turns to the father and he says, "Shnei chumashim shanisi lo b'sefer Tehillim. You know, I taught him 2/5 of Sefer Tehillim. Sefer Tehillim, we just talked about a couple days ago in the daf. 150 prakim, according to the Gemara, just 8 psukim shy of the number of psukim in the Torah, and I taught him 2/5 of it, and it's a significant amount of teaching, and so not only am I Talmud Chacham, but I'm also his Rebbe, and he doesn't stand for me. V'lo amad mipanai. And this all happened in the bathhouse, and the Gemara says, we're going to answer the question in just a moment, but we're asking a question. The Braisa said, you don't need to stand for someone in the bathhouse, and meanwhile, Rabbi Shimon Barebi is upset because somebody didn't stand for him. Story number two. Visu bar kapar v'amila Rabbi Shimon bar Rav Yosi. Now, various versions of who the Amora was who refused to stand, but there was an Amora. Havayasav be'maschusa, and he was also in the bathhouse. Alva azo Rabbi Shimon Barebi, and along comes Rabbi Shimon Barebi. V'lo kami kame. And now a second time he's going to be offended as we're going to learn in just a moment, one of his students didn't stand for him. The ikpit, and he was upset. And once again, he goes to the father, and he says, "Shnei shlishi shlish shenisu lo b'toras kohanim. I taught him 2/3 of a third, or 2/9 of Toras Kohanim. Toras Kohanim is a medrash on Sefer Vayikra, and the medrash halacha, meaning that comes before... It comes before Mishnah, before Gemara. So I taught him 2/9 of Toras Kohanim to him. V'lo amad mipanai, he didn't stand for me. V'amar lo shema behen yoshev umaharher. And so the father says to Rabbi Shimon Barebi, please forgive him. Please excuse him. Maybe he was involved in learning. Maybe he didn't see you. He was not aware that you were there. Now, time of the behen yoshev umahar. I love hachi lo kasha. So, I'm sorry, halav hachilo. So, the only excuse that was generated was maybe he was thinking and learning. But the Gemara says, but what was not an excuse was that they were in the bathroom. That didn't serve as an excuse. It sounds like from both of these stories that there is a requirement to stand while in the bathroom. Now, I'm saying bathroom, by the way. I really mean bathhouse. I don't mean bathroom. And as we'll see in just a moment, even when I say bathhouse, that's also a little bit misleading. And the Gemara makes this point right now. Lo kasha. Habevate gavai, habevate barai. We're talking about the inner house versus the outer house. Rashi explains. Back then, again, it was a public bathhouse. So that means that there was kind of like a locker room first, and then there was the actual bathhouse itself. Rashi says, Bate Gavai, Makum Shebnei Adam. Rashi is a little bit above where we are in the Gemara. Makum Shebnei Adam Omdim Arumim. So the inner house is basically, that's where everyone is bathing. Everyone there is not clothed. V'had Rabbi Shimon Barebi Bebate Barai. And the encounter between Rabbi Shimon Barebi and these Amorayim was in the outer house, what we would call basically the locker room. And Makum Shomdim Levushim. Now, locker room is also not the best way to say it, because the Bate Barai is everyone there, says Rashi, is dressed. Da'asa Makum Hidrahu, and that's a place where you can give. So maybe not the locker room, but the waiting room. Okay. So fine. So that is so yes, they were in the bathhouse, but they were not in the bathhouse. They were in an antechamber before the bathhouse, and there you're required to stand in front of a Talmud Chacham. And the Gemara says, and all this really makes a lot of sense, because Hachinami Mistabra. Da'am Rabba Barbachan, Amar Rav Yochanan, B'chol Makom Mutala Harher, Chutz Mi Beis HaMerchatz, Umi Beis HaKiseh. Remember, what was the excuse that Dad gave? He said, oh, please forgive him. He probably was sitting and learning. He was thinking and learning. Now, when you're in the actual bathhouse itself, you're not allowed to think and learning. Only when you're outside. In fact, when you're outside, you should be thinking and learning all the time. But when you're in the bathhouse, so you're not allowed to be thinking and learning. So the fact that Dad gave the excuse, please forgive him, he was probably thinking and learning, it must mean that they were not in the interior of the bathhouse, but they were just outside. So the Gemara says, Dilma la unse shani. Well, the Gemara says that point, although it's a good point, you could deflect that point as well. Maybe the Gemara says you're not allowed to think in Torah, but you know, maybe you just, you know, it, you know, sometimes it's hard to control the thoughts, and these are the thoughts that are great, you know, if you didn't have control over them. But maybe, you know, he was so engrossed in Torah that he was thinking about it in the bathroom. He knows you shouldn't have been doing so, but his mind kind of wandered. Okay. We're back to the Braisa that started off our daf today. And the Braisa says that I have a havamina that I should close my eyes and pretend as if I don't see him. So the Gemara says, is that really a havamina? Right? Oh, here comes the Talmud Chacham. Okay, I mean, you know, nowadays it's very easy to envision. You just look down at your phone. Right, and now I don't see him coming. Out to Birushi Askinan. And like, who's the Braisa addressing? The Braisa is addressing wicked people. Like, you really think that the person is the audience of the Braisa? Oh, don't cover your eyes. Like, who are we talking to? So Ala Yachul Yatim Einav Mikame Delimte Zman Chiyuva. The Gemara says like this. I might have thought that what I'm supposed to do is cover my eyes before the time of obligation arrives, as we will learn in just a moment. You're not obligated to stand up for him the moment you see him. You're only obligated to stand up for him when he's in proximity of four amos. So, before he arrives within those four amos, maybe I should cover my eyes to pretend like I don't see him. And that's not as offensive, because at that point in time, there's no obligation yet to stand for him. At least now we understand the Havamina. Dechi matez zman chiyuva halo chazilei dekami mekame. So that when the zman chiyuv comes, well, I don't see him. Or at least, I'm pretending like I don't see him. So all we have now is just simply a better understanding of what the Havamina was. We're gonna start covering our eyes before the Zman Chiyuv comes. Tam Lama Takam Yereisa. Okay, Tana. Ezu Kimashesh Bahira Aviomer Zedal Amos. So the Gemara quotes another Braisa, which gives us the shear. The shear is four Amos. Meaning that when he's in within your four Amos, that's when you should stand up for him. Amar Rabbi Lo Amar Nala Barabo. She'ino Muvak. That's only talking about your Rebbe who's not your Rebbe Muvak. Aval Barabo HaMuvak. But if it's your Rebbe Muvak, Rebbe Muvak, the person that you learn most of your Torah from, Malo Einav. The moment you see him is the time that you're supposed to stand up for him. Abai Michi Avachazi Le Udne Dechamra de Rav Yosef. Abaye saw the ear of the donkey of Rav Yosef, meaning Rav Yosef was riding in on a donkey. And he didn't even see Rav Yosef yet. All he saw was just the first image of the donkey that Rav Yosef was riding on. So the Asi have come. So Rav Yosef would, sorry, Abai would stand for Rav Yosef. Abai have a rachiv chamra v'ka maske aguda denahar. Abai was riding on his donkey and he got to the bank of the river. I'm sorry, Nahar Saga. Yasser Mishashiv Rabbanim be'idach Yisa. A group of rabbis were on the other side. V'lo kame kame, and they didn't stand up for Abaye. Amar lehu v'lav Rav Muvakana. So Abaye wasn't just any Talmud Chacham. He happened to have been their Rebbe Muvak. So he's there on the other side of the river, kind of waving his hands, trying to get their attention. And he's, and you know, they're like, they're oblivious. And so he has to say something to them. Hello, I'm here. So, V'lav Ravak Muvakana, Amr Le Lava Daitan. To which they, once again, please forgiveness, you know, selective attention. We didn't notice that you were there. Please forgive us. We're still in the Braisa. And we're still going point by point through the Braisa. This next point of the Braisa is, we now talk to the Zaken, and we say to the Zaken, don't be overbearing. To which the Gemara now explains. Amar Abai Naktinan. Rabbi says we have the following tradition. De'im makif chaye. That if the Talmud Chacham circumvents and he goes in a path where he won't be needing the hider, the standing up for, so chaye, he's going to be guaranteed a long life from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Abaye Makif, Rabbi Zera Makif, the Gemara tells stories, I don't know why they're anecdotes, they should be like, this story should be told of all the Talmid Chachamim, but I guess Abaye made it a special point to always circumvent, and Rabbi Zera always made it a special point to circumvent. Ravina Aviyasu Kamid Rav Yirmiyah Midifte, excuse me, Ravina would stand in front of Rav Yirmiyahu Midifte, Chalafa Ugavra Kameh V'lo Mechze Reshe. And now a person is walking by and his head was not covered. Amar Kama Chatzif HaGavra. What chutzpah that he walks by and he doesn't have his head covered. Amar Le Duma Mimas Mechasininu De Gisi Be Rabbanon. And perhaps he's from Mas Mechasi, you know, there are a lot of Tamid Chachamim over there. He's used to it. So therefore, even though he's walking right by a Tamid Chacham, but he doesn't have his head covered, because he's just so used to it. So he was Malamitz Chos. Isi ben Yehuda Omer Memesei V'Takom V'Afil Koseva B'Mashma. And as we're approaching now the end of the Braisa that started off our morning, so the Gemara now quotes the position of Isi ben Yehuda, which is, you stand up for anybody who is elderly. I'm Rav Yochanan Halacha Ki Isi ben Yehuda. And Rav Yochanan says, and that's the halacha, that you stand up for any elderly person. Rav Yochanan Havakai Mikame Sabi Darmai. Rav Yochanan would stand up for a non-Jewish elderly person. Amar Kama Harpaktke Adu Alayhu. And he says, life experience. Meaning that when you're an elderly person, so that by definition means you've had tremendous life experience. And there's a lot to learn from that life experience. Dahani Rava, Adu Alayhu Dahani. Rava Mekim Lokai, Hider Avid Luhu. Rava, although in agreement that you should stand and you should stand for any elderly person, but he would not do the full stand. He would do like the partial stand like we described just a couple days ago. So a muted covered for any elderly person. Abai Yahiv Yada Lasabe. Abai would extend a hand to anyone who was an elderly. Rava Mishadu Shluche. Rava would send one of his shlichim, one of his messengers over to an elderly to see if they need anything. Rav Nachman Mishadu Guzai. Rav Nachman would send out the guzai. Okay, Rav Nachman had some sort of attendant. Rashi describes him as sarisim. Okay. Amar ilav Torah kama Nachman bar Abba ika b'shuka. Now, why Rav Nachman himself would not tend to it himself? So he felt that him in his position, in his stature, it shouldn't be that he himself would extend, but he would send somebody. Amar Abba Aibu Amar Rav Yanai. Ain't a machacham rashay la'amod mibnei rabo ela shachris va'arvis. A tamachacham should not be standing in front of his rabbi except for two times a day. Kidei shelo yehei kvodo meruba mikvod shamayim. So that the amount of time that you give kavod to your rabbi should not exceed the amount of times that you give kavod shamayim. Now kavod shamayim, now we're talking about shachris and mariv, so it's a little bit unclear. Well, your two possibilities are that we're talking about kriyashma, meaning, which is twice a day. Now, if we're talking about Shemone Esrei, so we know that comes three times a day. But maybe you can argue that it's really Shachris and Mincha with the obligations. Mariv, the Gemara elsewhere, refers to as a Rishus, although we've all taken it upon ourselves to say Mariv, but maybe that's what the Gemara means as well. Anyway, but the point being is that if you keep standing up for the Talmud Chacham three, four, five times a day, you're now giving more cover to the Talmud Chacham than you do to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you should max out at twice a day. Tosfos is a little bit bothered because the Gemara that we learned earlier this morning certainly give off the indication that you should be standing as needed, meaning without a cap of two times a day. Tema, top Tosfos on the Amud. Lama Ikbid Rava Lael, Shema Kamim Mipanav Shachris Varvis. Rava got upset earlier this morning. Not, I mean, we learned it. We learned it earlier this morning. But Rava got upset. And why would Rava get upset? Maybe they already stood up twice, and so therefore they didn't want to exceed the cap of two times a day. Shema kamen bipanav shachris varvis v'lava daite v'nir lefarish adin ze eno noeg ela ba'osam hadarim bebeis harav. Ah, so Tosu says beautifully, meaning this idea that we're capping the amount of times that you stand up for your Rebbe is when you and him are together all the time. So you and him are together all the time. So how awkward is it going to be? Every time he walks within your four amas, every time you see him, you have to stand? It's onerous. So there's a cap of standing up for him twice a day. But if you're not with him all day, and it happens to be that you passed him by a third time, so Tosfos says, so you'll stand up a third time. That's how he understands our Gemara. Meisvei. We are on the top of Lamigimel Amud Beis, three lines down. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Minayin LaZaken Shelo Yatriach. How do we know that the Zaken should not be Matriach? Tamlam Zaken V'Yareisa. Okay. So the Zaken should not make a nudge of himself and keep walking through to have people stand up for him. Now, so the Gemara says, Ella lav kule yuma. So the Gemara is bothered by the fact that, wait a second, you only need to stand up for him twice a day. So what is this idea that the Talmud Chacham shouldn't be matriach? We're only talking about twice a day. So the Gemara says no. Really, once again, we're going to go back to the fact that you should only be standing up for him twice a day. We're capping it at twice a day. And still, we're saying to the Talmud Chacham, look, if you can avoid it, you should avoid it. Okay. Amar Rebbe Lazar called Tamachacham Shein Omei Mimnei Rabo Nikra Rasha. A Tamachacham that does not stand up for his Rebbe is referred to as a Rasha. Veinu Marach Yamim, he doesn't have extended years. V'tamudo Mishtakeach, and his learning will be forgotten. Shenemer V'tov Lo Yeh L'Rasha V'lo Yarech Yamim Kitzel Asher Einenu Yarei Melefnei Elokim. Morazu Eini Yodea Mahu. Now, it's a function of the fact that he didn't have Mora. What was that? What is that in reference to? Kishu Omer, v'yareisim alakecha hare mora zukima. The mora making reference to in the pasuk in Koheles is a reference to the idea that you didn't stand up for your Talmud Chacham, and therefore all the bad things mentioned in the pasuk in Koheles are going to fall upon you. Now the Gemara says, now if the only key word that we had in that pasuk in Koheles is yira, we have yira in the Torah connected to other averos or mitzvahs. Ve'ema moras rivis. Umaras Mishkalos. The Torah by Ribbis says, don't charge interest, and the Torah says, V'yareisim Elokecha. The Torah says, use fair weights and measures, and the Torah says, V'yareisim Elokecha. So we have Yira in connection to charging interest in terms of fair weights and measures. So Rabbi Lazar, Pene Pene Gamar. So the Gemara says, yes, that's all true, but also the Pasuk Koheles uses the words Milifne. And we have by standing for the Talmud Chacham, Mipnei Seva Takom. So therefore, the Gzer Shava Pnei Pnei leads us to this destination. Ibay Lahu, Benovahu Rabu Mahu La'amod Mipnei Aviv. Okay, it's a interesting relationship. The son is the Rebbe to the father. So we really have two questions that we need to ask. One, should dad be standing for the son? And two, should the son be standing for dad? And we're going to ask both of those questions. And just give away some of the Gemara. The Gemara is going to be inconclusive on both of these questions. And I'll tell you why that's interesting when we get to the end of this. Yep. So, So the first question that we're asking is that where the son is a Rebbe to the father, should the son be standing for the father? Tashma. Shmuel once again instructs Rav Yehuda. Remember, they had a Talmud Rebbe relationship, and Shmuel always refers to Rav Yehuda Shinana. He says, stand in front of your father. So, even though you are the Rebbe to your father. Meaning, and we just saw this yesterday, where the father was learning something and he was corrected by his son. So that means that Rav Yehuda was the Rebbe to his father. And Shmuel's instructing his son to stand for his father, even though Rav Yehuda was the Rebbe to his father. So Shani Rav Yecheska Dabam Masim Hava. So the Gemara says, okay, that's true, but I don't know if we can extend this to every scenario where the son is a Rebbe to the father. It could be that Rav Yecheskel is super special. The Gemara refers to him as a Baal Ma'asim Hava. He was a tremendous Baal Chesed. So he may not have been a Talmud Chacham, but he was a Baal Chesed. De'afilu mar Shmuel nami kami kame. In fact, the Gemara says, Shmuel himself stood for Rav Yecheskel, even though Rav Yecheskel was not a Talmud Chacham per se, but he was a special person. Elamai kamerlei, hachi kamerlei. So, if that's true, so then what is Shmuel giving special instruction to Rav Yehuda? You better stand for your father. What do you mean? Everybody stands for the father. Even Shmuel stands for the father. So what instruction is given over here? Zimnan da'asei ma'acharei, kum at mikamei velo techush li'karadidi. What Shmuel was saying to Rav Yehuda is as follows. Look, sometimes he's going to walk in the room, and I'm there, and you may think that it's going to be offensive to me if you stand for him. I'm telling you it's not. meaning you stand for your father, and it's not going to be offensive to me. Ibai lehu. Benovahu rabo, same setup. The son is the Rebbe to the father. So now we're just asking a related question, pun intended. We're asking a related question, and that is, in the same scenario, should the father now be standing for the son? Because the son is the Rebbe to the father. Tashma, Dam Rav Yeshua ben Levi, ani, eini kedai lamod mibnei bini. So Rav Yeshua ben Levi says, I'm not standing up for my son. Ela mishum kvod beis nasi. It's a double negative. I'm not doing it only because of, all right, so I'll just put it now in a simple sentence. I'm only standing for my son because kvod beis nasi. He married into royalty, right? His father-in-law is a nasi, so that's why I'm standing for my son. So taima da'ana rabbe, ha ihu rabbe kamina mekame. So the Gemara says now Rav Yeshua ben Levi happened to have been the rabbi to his son. Now what could be inferred is that if that role was reversed and the son was rabbi to Rav Yeshua ben Levi, so then Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would be standing up for his own son. The Gemara says, no, that's not really what he meant. Hachi kamar. Ani eni kedai lamod mibnei bini ve'afilu hu rabbi. I wouldn't be standing up for my son, and even if he was my Rebbe, I still wouldn't be standing up for him. Daha na'avua. Because when all said and done, I'm dad. I'm not standing up for my son. Ela mishum kavod beis nasi. Now, you're going to see that I stand for my son, but I'm telling you that that's only because now he's mishpacha with royalty, and I'm only standing out because of kavod hanasi, which I feel is important, and that's why I'm standing up for him. But for no other reason would I stand up for him. So once again, we've asked basically now two questions. When the son is a rebbe to the father, should A, the son be standing for the father, and B, should the father be standing for the son? The Gemara asked both of these questions. The Gemara left both of these questions inconclusive. But I'll tell you one of the greatest it's a story, but it's a story that's told over by the Rush. So I assume the story is accurate. Story tells us the Rush tells a story about his Rebbe. The Rush's Rebbe was a Maharam Rottenberg, and one of the last of the Balei Atosos. And the Maharam Rottenberg was appointed as the head of the community. And from that point going forward, it is what it is. So from that point going forward, so the Maharam Rottenberg would never meet with his father once again. Why? Because it would end up in a gridlock in terms of who should be standing for whom. Meaning that the father, the Gemara asked the question, should the father be standing for his son when the son is his Rebbe? The Gemara left that inconclusive. Should the son be standing for his father when the son is the Rebbe? The Gemara left that inconclusive. So the Rush writes that this comment of the Rush made its way into the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama quotes it. The Rush writes that the Maharam never met with his father again. I'm just telling you what the Rush writes. That's correct. Okay, and as far as the Rambam is concerned, the Rambam says that the son should stand for the father, even if the son is a Rebbe to the father.
Since the son has been paying respect for much longer.
Okay, I know. Just, you know.